Okay, I've got analysis for you of why China's export restrictions on indium compounds will almost certainly crash the data center, well, AI data center infrastructure build-out bubble. So welcome to the special report. I'm Mike Adams. I'm an AI developer. I built multiple platforms using vibe coding, including brightlearn.ai and brightanswers.ai and many others. And I'm also an elemental scientist. I mean, I run a mass spec laboratory with elemental analysis using multiple mass spec instruments for mostly for the food and supplements industry. That doesn't make me an optoelectronics engineer, but it does mean I have an understanding of elements and let's say the overall natural abundance or lack thereof of these elements. And indium is one of those elements that is not, it's not in great natural abundance. It's considered a rare earth, although, you know, that definition is kind of loose, but clearly indium is in the category of rare. Now, if you look at the table of elements, it's kind of interesting because indium is in the same column as boron, aluminum, and gallium, which tells you something about its atomic structure, of course. And gallium is also on China's export list, and gallium has some unique properties, some of which overlap indium's properties. And gallium is used, for example, in night vision optics and radar systems in particular that are necessary for the U.S. to manufacture, you know, well, military systems that have radar, including anti-air interceptors. So China makes the vast majority of the gallium that is exported in the world, and it turns out that China also makes around 70% of indium that is exported. I shouldn't say makes, I should say it mines and refines about 70% of the indium that is sold in the world. So I'm not going to turn this into a science class or anything, but you know, these elements, boron, aluminum, gallium, and indium, they are all in the group 13 of the periodic table. They all have three electrons in their outermost orbital shell. And why that matters is because if you group it with a, or if you pair it with a group 15 element like phosphorus, which we'll get to in a second, then it yields a compound that shares some characteristics with silicon, but it has much better light transmission. And so for materials that need light transmission, such as solar panels or optoelectronics, that would be optical microchips, or, you know, let's say optical telecommunications equipment, like the kind you would use in AI data centers, huh? Starting to make sense. You need indium. You can't build these systems in silicon because silicon blocks the light. And it's called band gap engineering through special alloys. You can look that up if you want to know more details about the so-called band gap engineering. But basically, the upshot is that indium creates transparent conductors, such as indium tin oxide. It's electrically conductive and it's optically transparent. This is absolutely critical for a lot of things in data centers, but also things like touch screens or solar cells or electrodes that are embedded into displays, things like that. But when it comes to data centers, you know, you can't use copper wire to transmit the throughput that you need to connect all of the GPUs that are in the server racks, where some of these data centers might be running, I don't know, let's say 100,000 GPUs, okay? And when companies like, you know, SpaceX or OpenAI or Meta or Google or whoever, when they want to do very, very large model training or even Anthropic, they need to have extremely fast interconnections between the GPUs. Otherwise, model training slows to a crawl and things take years instead of, you know, days. So you have to have extremely fast transmission of data between the GPUs. And the only way to do that is with optoelectronics. You know, again, copper doesn't cut it. I mean, I'm thinking, like in my mini data center, I'm still using quite a bit of copper running at 10G, so 10 gigabits per second copper wire. And that's getting really slow for me, by the way, because of all the data I'm working with. And I've just announced some big updates for brightlearn.ai and brightanswers.ai, by the way. I'll have those as a separate podcast. But I'm going to have to go all optical with my next upgrade of infrastructure, optical switches and everything. Whereas companies like, obviously, Google or whoever, you know, SpaceX, they've already gone everything optical. These data centers are being built with optical infrastructure in a huge way. So, in other words, they depend severely on indium. So, it turns out that China is now restricting indium exports, or let me say scrutinizing exports of just straight indium. Whereas even last year in 2025, they put indium phosphide on an export control list. So remember when I said that if you pair indium, which is a group 13 element, with phosphorus, which is a group 15 element, then you get these special properties of transparency with electrical conductivity. So China is very aware of this, and that's why they added indium phosphide, which of course is indium and phosphorus in a configuration, to their export control list in early 2025. So that material is already controlled, and that alone has caused some kind of crazy price increase. Let me see if I can find the details. I think the prices, indium phosphide wafers, their prices have risen 250% in a little over a year, about a year and a half, it looks like, to now $5,000 per wafer. That's a 6-inch wafer, so that's the template onto which the optoelectronics, you know, circuitry, you could say, is eventually optically chiseled into it with the fabrication techniques. Okay, but that's $5,000 a wafer now. It used to be a lot less than that. So that's huge. But now China is asking extra questions of purchasers of just the indium. Not even the indium phosphide, but just the indium. So it's being reported, and this was in Taiwan Press. This is where I found it. But it's being reported that there's extra scrutiny now of European buyers and U.S. buyers who are being asked to detail the end user information, including the destination country of where the indium is going. So you know how the United States, of course, pressured Europe to ban, well, especially the company ASML, which is the UV lithography equipment manufacturer. The U.S. pressured that company to block all exports to China so that China could not do high-end UV lithography and get their transistor size down to something like, you know, 2 or 3 nanometers. China is fighting back by blocking gallium exports and indium phosphide exports. This is going to dramatically hamper the U.S. AI data center build-out industry for all the obvious reasons. I mean, silicon just doesn't work. It doesn't absorb light at the proper wavelengths, but indium phosphide absolutely works very well, including for things like lasers and photo detectors, not just photo or optoelectronics. All of that and much more. Different modulators, you know, the light modulators, which are necessary for the optical telecom equipment to move large amounts of data, like terabits per second, basically. You know, I'm talking about very high speed bandwidth. You need indium. So essentially, you need optical transceivers, which is a kind of special, you know, high end networking cabling combined with special switches that can handle those transceivers. And there is no substitute in photonics. There's no substitute for indium phosphide. Period. You know, mic drop. No substitute. You don't have indium, you don't have high-speed optical networking in your data centers, okay? So here's what's going to happen. The 70% of the global indium market is controlled by China. And there's another company that handles 80% of the substrate manufacturing. That's called AXT Sumitomo, which obviously is not Chinese, but they get the indium from China. Through these two companies, then you have this choke point on indium and substrate production that is absolutely horrifying to the AI data center build-out effort, including, by the way, orbital data centers. You still need very fast optical transmission of data between effectively the GPUs or TPUs or whatever you're going to be using in orbit. You're going to need high speed, obviously, bandwidth there, so you need optics there. So I did a little bit more research on this. Here's a story out of mining.com. China's control over indium phosphide exports threatens AI data center rollout. See, they came to the same conclusion. And let's see, there's an interesting paragraph in here. It says that indium phosphide has emerged as a powerful trade weapon for Beijing that experts and executives say could disrupt the global rollout of AI data centers. Yep. Just like I said, indium phosphide, this is a quote, is one of several supply chain bottlenecks collectively gating AI data center buildouts, said Conrad Wong, a research analyst at SemiAnalysis. So why does all this matter? Because NVIDIA announced a $2 billion investment into each of these two U.S. photonic product makers. I'm reading from the article. Coherent and Lumentum. So those are, I guess those are U.S. companies. I had not heard of them, but they are opto or photonic product manufacturers. And there's a custom chip maker known as Marvel Technology, or Marvell, some people say. I use some of their 10 gig networking cards, by the way. They work great. That's not optical, that's just copper. But anyway, they have announced the acquisition of a semiconductor startup known as Celestial AI to acquire their work on photonics. So in other words, what you see is that even NVIDIA realizes we have to have a lot of photonics. We have to have photo or optoelectronics and optical transceivers in order to make these data centers work and in order to make AI scale. You have to have this. And that depends on indium. Isn't it amazing? The table of elements comes back to haunt the bubble. And it's not the only element that's haunting the bubble, by the way. There are other shortages. I already mentioned gallium. And there are others that I've talked about as well. And tungsten. Remember tungsten hexafluoride? I talked about that last week. WF6, as it's known, because W is the... That's the elemental symbol for tungsten, by the way. W. I know people are like, WF6? What is that? It's like, Wells Fargo? No, that's tungsten hexafluoride right there. So you can't make modern microchips without tungsten hexafluoride, it turns out. And you can't make modern optoelectronics without indium. So you see, the table of elements becomes just critical. And you see that China's dominance in not only the mining, but also the extraction of this element, which is mostly extracted from zinc mining, by the way. So if you dig tons and tons of rock out of the earth, and then you use a bunch of solvents to get the zinc out of it, right? I mean, that's common. You know, heat and pressure and solvents and whatever, you get a bunch of zinc out of it. Then the zinc that you get is slightly contaminated, you would say, with indium. Then you have to use another process of extraction to get the indium out of the zinc, because indium and zinc like to stick together, which is why they are found together in nature. Okay, it's like mercury and gold. Okay, actually mercury sticks to everything, but mercury definitely sticks to gold. That's why gold miners use a bunch of mercury to pull the gold out of the soil and rock. Did you know that? You know why gold miners, the old school gold miners, you know why they all lose their minds and go crazy? Because they have a giant vat where they're cooking and boiling this giant stew of soil and rocks, and they pour mercury into it to bind with the gold. And then the mercury vapors come off of that, and they breathe in those mercury vapors, and they go insane like dentists who drill on your mercury fillings, who are also inhaling mercury vapors. That's why dentists and gold miners go insane. The longer they do their jobs, the more insane they become, for the exact same reason. Isn't that interesting? See, the table of elements is very fascinating. The more you know about the table of elements, the more it explains the insanity in our world also, and also the scarcity and, you know, geopolitics and everything. So Trump likes to use trade weapons or tariffs as trade weapons, right? Trump likes to say, we're going to slap a tariff on you. China likes to say, well, we're just going to like quietly restrict your ability to buy, oh, I don't know, indium, you know, gallium, thallium, thulium, you know, it like that song by Tom Lehrer, you know, the element song. I'm joking. That's a funny song. That's how China wages war. It's like, oh, you want elements? Yeah, good luck with that. Good luck. You see? And then the data centers are like, what are we going to do without indium? I don't know. Use lightning bugs? I don't know. So remember one of the companies I mentioned that NVIDIA invested in is called Lumentum. Apparently, according to this article, they're sold out through 2028. All the products they make, already sold. They've quadrupled their output, still can't keep up. And then in Taiwan, there are optical product makers such as VPEC and Landmark Optoelectronics. But guess what? They're not able to get permits for the substrate from the AXT company, probably because of the political friction between China and Taiwan. So China is kind of, you know, and they have a stranglehold on this product going to Taiwan, as well as the United States. Got it? So anyway, everywhere you go across this industry, no matter what companies you talk to, they're all, I mean, they're sold out for years to come. And then when you look at how they're trying to scale up production, even there's one company that has production in Texas, but it's going to take 2 to 3 years to scale it. And even then, it's a drop in the bucket compared to what the world needs. So, you know, we talked about when Trump announced all these projects and all these trillions of dollars coming in to build data centers, immediately I talked about, well, where are you going to get the transformers? There's a transformer shortage and a supply chain bottleneck. And then I also said, well, where are you going to get the gas turbines? Remember that? Because the gas turbines now have up to a 10-year wait time, depending on the capacity of the gas turbine. All the smaller turbines have been bought up by all the tech companies at this point. But, and I even talked about, well, what about copper? You know, they're going to need a lot of copper and even some aluminum, etc. But those were just sort of surface level scarcity problems that I just knew off the top of my head. But if you dig into this, you get into things like indium. And that's a far worse scarcity problem because there's no solution that you can achieve in less than a few years. And even then, you know, where are you going to get the raw indium? Oh, by the way, I think I accidentally said AXT Sumitomo, but I think those are two separate companies, so I just want to clarify that. AXT is a Chinese company that makes the indium phosphide substrate. Okay. And Sumitomo, I see mentioned separately. Okay, so we're digging into this. Let's dig into who produces indium. So here's the fun part of this. You know how there's no or hardly any actual silver mines in the world? You know that silver is really produced as a byproduct of other mining, like zinc mining, for example, or in some cases, I think copper, whatever. There are almost no dedicated silver mines. Same thing with indium, but even more extreme. There are no dedicated indium mines in the world. It's not worth digging up tons of earth to try to get the tiny amount of indium. Indium, like I said earlier, is extracted from zinc ores. And the way it's pulled out, you know, there's solvent extraction. There's also what's called electro-refining, which is how a lot of other trace elements or rare earths are actually refined, by the way. Even silver, by the way. So if you want to know where does indium come from, you need to know, like, where is there a lot of zinc mining where the zinc is further refined with this electro-refining and solvent extraction in order to harvest the indium. And I already said that China is 70% of the world's supply. You know, there's nobody else even close. The next in line is South Korea, which is, you know, less than half of what China produces. And then Japan, and then Canada, also as a byproduct of mining. And then after that, a bunch of other countries. None of them are the United States. There is indium recycling, by the way. So a lot of indium can be reclaimed from, you know, electronics. And so this happens in Japan, especially, and to some extent in the United States and so on. A lot of the reclaiming is indium tin oxide, with reclaiming that from displays, for example. Japan is well known for doing that. But there are really no spare reserves, or almost no spare reserves. There's no U.S. mining of indium. And there's no large U.S. reclamation of indium that could provide enough for the AI data center industry. It's not even close. Without China, you can't do it. So China can turn off the U.S. AI industry just like that, and they may be preparing to do that because now they're asking extra questions about indium exports. And again, they've already added, you know, indium phosphide. Now remember that China can just literally flick a switch and just block all exports of some of these elements, such as gallium. They can block it, boom, you know, on any given day. China always uses that as a leverage point in negotiations with the United States. Every time Trump loses his mind and says, you know, 50% tariff on everything out of China, then China just reminds Trump, oh yeah, well then we'll just completely block all gallium or some of these other elements. And then, you know, the Pentagon sends Trump a memo. Trump, you better reverse that, because we can't make any missiles. We can't make anything without China's exports of these rare earths. And then Trump reverses himself, you know, within a week and says, oh, China, we love those guys. They're so awesome. Such great guys. And then everything's back on. So every time Trump tries to play tough with China, China just starts citing the table of elements, you know, again, like singing the song from Tom Lehrer. And you might think, from the name of the element being indium, you might think, well, surely it's, you know, it must be abundant in India. Except that's not how it got named. I had to look this up too, but it's very interesting. The name of indium actually comes from indigo, the color, because under spectroscopy, the element, it reflects a very bright indigo blue spectral line. So it's a beautiful indigo blue. And so they named it after the Latin word indicum, which means the indigo dye. So it's about the blue emission line in spectroscopy. There you go. You learned a little elemental trivia today on indium, not named after India. But there is another element, by the way. Let's see, where is it? Moscovium. Pretty sure that's named after Moscow, where it was discovered. And there's also, there's a californium, and let's see, Lawrencium? Yeah, a lot of these are named after Livermorium. Yeah, where they were discovered, the labs. Here it is, californium, einsteinium, fermium. Yeah, does any of this ring a bell? Mendelevium. Yeah, these are all nobelium. These are all, of course, famous physicists and scientists, etc. Here's one called protactinum. That's different from procrastinum, which they put that one off for a while. Then there's thorium and thulium. I mentioned earlier, erbium, holmium, dysprosium. Oh, that's one that China loves to say, no soup for you, no dysprosium for you. That's a favorite one of China right there. Neodymium, you know about that one, ND. Neodymium for magnets, and there's neodymium in every EV, you know, every motor that has a regeneration function in it has neodymium magnets in it. And there's all kinds of great stuff. Just check out the table of elements. It matters. Very cool stuff. Okay. All right, so anyway, that's just a fun, interesting way to tell you that the US AI data centers are effed if China if China wants to flip the switch and stop the exports. And it looks like that's about to happen. So there you go. So the AI race to superintelligence, you know, how the U.S. tries to prevent China from having UV lithography equipment. And then China just says, well, we won't let you have these elements that you need for, you know, optical electronics and optic transceivers, whatever. And then China builds out its own data centers because it has massive scalability. It's got its own power grid that hasn't run out of power. They've got plenty of power and they're building more. And China's got its own supply chains and its own, you know, rare earth elements, its own mining, its own extraction. It's got its own scientists. I mean, and China is doing amazing, amazing things with optoelectronics. They just came up with a technology I was reading about earlier where they can almost literally stamp out an optical microchip grid at about 10% of the cost of what it normally takes today for the etching and the lithography. They can stamp it out using a whole new method I had never heard of before, but it's only for optoelectronics. So China is going to achieve economies of scale in the years ahead that will make compute extremely inexpensive. Microchips will be, you know, 10 times more powerful at 1/100th the cost per compute cycle. Things like that. That's what's coming over the next several years. China is engineering that future, and China has the elements that make that possible. So this is what happens when, you know, from America's point of view, this is what happens when you stop mining and you let China mine everything. You think you can always buy it from China. Sometimes it turns out you can't. Or this is what happened in Western Europe when they stopped developing their own energy infrastructure and they said, well, we can always buy energy from Russia. And then, you know, a couple of explosions later on, you know, the gas pipelines from Gazprom. And then guess what? Yeah, I guess we can't buy energy from Russia. So this is why domestic energy and domestic mining and rare earths extraction is extremely important. And despite what Trump has been announcing, there is no significant indium production scheduled in America anytime in the next decade. Nothing that matters. So we are entirely dependent on China. There you go. I'm still not happy that California got its own element, by the way. Why does California deserve an element, Californium? They should rename that one. It's ugly, too. It's CF. That's just an ugly element symbol. It's ugly. I mean, it should be more manly, like, you know, manganese. It's got man in the name. Manganese, you know? That's Californium. The element looks gay. that's totally gay. Gay elements. All right. Okay, did I take that too far? Sorry about that. Well, you know, as long as we're on genders, gallium has gal in it, and bromine starts with bro. So there you go. All right. Anyway, you can follow more of my analysis of what's going on. If I were you, I mean, don't take this as investment advice, obviously, but be very, very cautious if you are buying into this hype about the AI companies and all of their IPOs. They're going to hit a brick wall called no indium, you know, very soon, probably. And also no gallium and so on and so forth. No dysprosium. I mean, this is a very bad scenario unless full trade is restored around the world. That's why I've said, you know, politically that I wish Trump would just end the wars and just trade. Let's trade with the world. We have things to trade with each other. You know, if we could just have more trade with China, then we wouldn't have all these restrictions on these rare earths, and then we wouldn't run into, you know, maybe bubble market collapses in the AI data center build out. But be very cautious if you are investing in this. And if nobody has told you about indium, they're leaving that out. That's you need to know all about indium, especially for data centers because of the optical transmission, you know, the networking gear that's all optical transceivers and things like that. So check it out. If you want to follow more of my work, I'm at brightvideos.com and also naturalnews.com. And if you want to use the AI platforms that I built, which are awesome, trust me, brightlearn.ai, now has over 65,000 books that you can download for free. They're all original books with original cover art. They were created by over 13,000 authors who created these books with the help of the AI engine I built. And now we have over 1,200 books in Spanish that are all free to download. We have hundreds in French now, and over 1,000 are coming in French. And then we've got over 1,000 audiobooks that are free to download right there. And you can also create your own books completely free. That's at brightlearn.ai. And you can use our deep research AI engine at brightanswers.ai for uncensored research with in-depth knowledge and strong citations of hundreds of millions of pages of documents that are in our own in-house research index. And I've just recently added 8,000 articles from Dr. Chris Martinson at Peak Prosperity. Those are now in the index. Plus, of course, all the articles at naturalnews.com and all of my interviews and things like that. But what's new is the 8,000 plus articles from Dr. Chris Martinson. So check that out at brightanswers.ai. And thank you for staying with me all the way to the end, Iam. Sorry, that was bad. And get it in endium? I know. All right, till next time, take care.
Stock up on the long-term storable Ranger Bucket Set. 536 servings of clean organic superfoods for your survival pantry. Certified organic and lab tested for purity. Order now at healthrangerstore.com.